Lord, please guide us in humility and flexibility as we follow you in restoring the essence of your church, your early church, and bringing it fresh to hungering souls. Amen. Lately, we're working on the prayers for the Lord's Supper, trying to get to the nuggets in the very heart of that time that the Lord had with his apostles before he suffered. And many of the original prayers are in the Catholic liturgy. However, priests have been trained to be very official, ceremonial, with an air of elegance and authority. And the Lord has been working with me on this for quite some time. And today I had an experience that put me in the uncomfortable position of having to confront this chasm of charism, so to speak, this huge difference between the Roman Church and the way it was in Jerusalem on the night of the Lord's Supper. So I was really struggling with this, and Jesus began to speak to me. There is a challenge emerging here on how to retain the meaning I gave the Last Supper. From now on, you are no longer to call it the Mass. You will call it my supper, my intimate time with my apostles, the meal I long to share with them, even my very last few moments with them, my family gathered around the table. That is what this is. The ones I shared my griefs and sorrows with, my miracles, I taught them, Claire, that they would be a family, and yet certain accommodations had to be made for those times when speaking to larger audiences. That is what you're unfamiliar with and was causing a grief inside of you. It was inevitable that things would get this way once Rome got involved. The simple, childlike ways were abandoned to capture the respect of the audience. A wall went up immediately. You know, the wall he's talking about is doctor, lawyer, priest, that kind of wall. A class system wall. I never intended this. I never wanted this. It goes with large churches. The synagogue, depending on its size, had its issues too. My people, I am reestablishing my church in a way that reflects my heart. You will notice that throughout my ministry, I had a particular affinity for the poor and simple, the beggars and sinners. This gives you a glimpse into my heart and the way I want to bring my body and blood to them. I want this time to be a small family affair. I do not want you to copycat every stage of the Roman Mass. Rather, I want you to take my example as to how I did it over the ways that men did it. Some things that were added were very good, like taking time to repent over your sins. However, I expected my apostles to have done that on their own time, and coming to the breaking of the bread with a resolved conscience, having spent the time necessary to be back in fellowship with me if they sinned. Now I have not introduced confession to all of you yet, but I must tell you, this is part of what I consider as your priestly ministry, to be available to those who have a burdened conscience and don't know how to deal with their sins. They need guidance and consolation that I have not abandoned them. That is why I set this precedence for the apostles. Those who were troubled and unsure could come to them, and they would examine the pressures they were under and explain to them what was a sin and what was not. Do you know one of the most used tactics by Satan is condemnation? Getting a soul to believe they have sinned and are no longer worthy of being heard by God or close to God is his most effective lie to separate a soul from me. It worked 2,000 years ago, and it worked 1,000 years ago, and it works today. You who are called to the priesthood are called to come alongside a soul in a state of crisis in their conscience and help them understand the dynamics behind their feelings. You are also responsible through the working of my Holy Spirit to draw attention to those things that are being skipped over. Do not give an absolution to one who is stuck in sin and refuses to recognize it is a sin, or refuses to repent. What is an absolution? It is, in a manner of speaking, like pronouncing a soul kosher after they have made a sincere act of repentance, hating their sin life, longing to be free from it. The soul, having been examined by the priest, is reassured that their sins are forgiven and they are returned to good standing with me. The absolution is a powerful spiritual means of unseating the guilt and condemnation that the enemy has imprisoned them with. The pronouncement of clean before the Lord your God is a powerful encouragement to the soul who has wounded themselves through sin, and the soul that has been captive to a way of life of sin. Now healing and reconstruction can begin. There is a resolution to live without sinning, to please me over themselves. And when this powerful absolution is given, so is the grace to go and sin no more given simultaneously. Not only are they loosed from the bondage of sin, but they are also empowered to avoid that occasion and live for me, wanting never again to hurt me through bad choices. Claire, this is why heart-dwelling, intimate, one-on-one worship and prayer is so important. Unless the heart is converted to me through love, the soul is weak against the temptations of Satan. I would say that one of your most powerful missions is to teach the absolute necessity of daily trysting time, time where the beloved is wrapped in my arms, breathing deeply of my absolute love for them. This love restores what was lost and broken. This love empowers the vision of life to the soul. This love conquers temptations to go down a lesser path. This love translates the soul from flesh and blood into living the life I live as divinity. And the longer the soul remains wrapped in me, the deeper and wider the reconstruction from earthly to heavenly takes place, bringing them so very close to living in complete union with me. From this place, wars are won, the worst of which is the war against one's own carnal nature. Oh, dear ones, this time with me, resting in my arms, I cannot overestimate the power it will bring into your life. Those who habitually long for and practice this will have no need to drink from the river of life or eat the leaves and fruit, because they will already have been transformed in my tender arms. But since I have introduced confession to you, I want you to understand first and foremost, confess to me, repent before me, and then come to the priest for an empowering absolution against the temptations of the past. It is a great act of humility to tell your sins to another soul. But when you speak them out, a certain breaking of their ability to ensnare you takes place. And the priest is endowed with a great grace to erase that sin forever, even as I have said, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you withhold forgiveness from anyone, it is withheld. That's John 20:23. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. It's Matthew 16:19. And finally, truly I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Matthew 18:18. Now I have made this clear to you. There is no excuse to say, that's just empty tradition. No one but God can forgive sins. That statement would put you in the wrong crowd, because that's what the Pharisees accused me of. Dear ones, I will be teaching more on this in the future. This is just an introduction, but I wanted you all to understand that there is power in confessing your sins to a priest and receiving absolution. But first and foremost, confess your sins to me and repent. Turn around in your life and go in the right direction. I love you. I bless you, and I am with each and every one of you. Well, that was quite a message from the Lord, and I just wanted to catch you up for a minute on what we're doing. We've weathered a blow and are back on track with Vimeo for the time being. And we've lost a portal for donations, and it's beginning to affect our operations. So if you have any ideas to how to increase our visibility for that purpose, I'd be happy to hear it. We have a lot of people that depend on us for charity. We aren't sure what to do other than to pray. So I do welcome your ideas. And I'd also like to add that one of our major prayer warriors, Mary Grace, MG, who went home to be with the Lord a year ago, has made an appearance to Ezekiel. He lately has been suffering the passion of the Lord, sometimes two or three times a day, and it's been rough, very rough, seeing him go through that. But she came to him just after one of those episodes, just shining in glory from head to toe. And her new name is Christopher, Christ Bearer. We asked for her to accompany us in praying for a serious medical condition, a woman who they say would be unconscious until Thanksgiving. And amazingly, 2 hours after we had petitioned and prayed with her over that, the woman woke up. Wow. Well, thank you everyone for staying with us, and please pass the word on that we're here for others so they can see that we're still very much alive. Thank you. You're greatly treasured and loved, every one of you.